Hey everyone, I really do appreciate you listening and tuning in and following us everywhere we are. It really does help grow the show and makes us look like, you know, we're important to you, which I hope we are. So thanks. This week on Myopia Defend Your Childhood, we learned you should always finish what you start. We watched Jumanji, which I never pronounce right. Who would buy the original board game? You know, the one that kills you.
I'm glad you decided to buy this place. I'm sure that you and your kids will be very happy here.
Every house has secrets.
Everybody in town thinks the place is haunted.
But what happened in this house?
Little Alan Parrish. He just vanished about 25 years ago.
Is a mystery that began a long time ago when Alan Parrish was just a young boy who made an incredible discovery.
Jumanji.
You want to play?
Alan, look. In the jungle, you must wait until the dice read 5 or 8.
Twenty-six years later, Peter and Judy Shepherd are about to play the same game and make an incredible discovery of their own.
Are you Alan Parrish?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Everyone thought you were dead.
Now.
Never shaved before.
They must roll the dice.
You're playing the game I started in 1969. I'm gonna have to play.
And finish the game together.
It's not my turn.
Whose turn is it?
Sarah Whittle.
Alan.
26 years ago, we started playing a little game.
Whoa, God, sir! No, Alan, come on, I have spent over 2,000 hours in therapy convincing myself that this doesn't exist.
Sarah, we're all gonna sit down. We're gonna finish it.
TriStar Pictures presents Robin Williams. Jumanji.
We've just discovered a very rare bit of audio from former Prime Minister Winston Churchill. Let's have a listen.
I, Winston Churchill, wholeheartedly believe that the Clockwork Cabaret is the finest example of steampunk radio programming. Never before have I heard anything quite so marvelous, and I doubt I shall ever hear anything like it again. Calpurnia, continue on your journey, broadcasting your marvelous music. And sail on to glory!
If you would like to find out more about this program, please check out clockworkcabaret.com or clockworkcabaret.podbean.com or follow us on Twitter at Clockwork Cabaret. That's C-L-O-C-K-W-R-K Cabaret.
Welcome to Myopia Defend Your Childhood. This week, we watched Jumanji, the prequel to Battleship. I'm Nick Hoffman, editor-in-chief of Dude Letter and host of Myopia Defend Your Childhood. And our offended tonight is...
Kelly.
And on panel we have...
Thomas Herman of the Brother Sermon and Geekly Podcast.
You'll get it eventually. And...
Abby Normal.
So before we get too far into this, Kelly, did it hold up as well as you had hoped?
Yes. Hands down, I love this movie. I love it just as much as I did when I was a kid. It almost made me cry. I was so happy.
I'm sure we'll spend lots of times talking about how it almost made you cry.
Okay.
But before we get too far into this, we need our plot synopsis. And I think, Abby, this time you're going to give us our plot.
Ooh. Okay, so it opens to some children sneaking around the woods looking terrified, having to bury a box. And then it cuts to the second timeline. And Robin Williams is a young boy, is mercilessly bullied, and his dad is rich and stuck up and just tells him to be a man and face his fears. And while he's, after he gets beaten up, he's wandering around a construction site after he snuck into a factory. So this kid is really good at getting into places he shouldn't be in. And he finds a game and he takes it back to his house and he doesn't even get a chance to play it before he starts hearing drums. And then he gets into a fight with his parents and then his friend comes over and she hears the drums. So then they open it up and he plays a turn. And then he gets sucked in the game, and his friend is traumatized. And flash forward, some new kids are moving into the house, and their parents have just died. They're traumatized, and their aunt is renovating the house, and they find a game and start hearing drums and start playing. And then Robin Williams pops out, and he's all jungle-fied. And then they realize that they have to finish playing the game, or all of these wrongs will never be righted. Do you want me to give away the ending, or is that sufficient?
No, we'll get to the ending. Okay. I promise we'll get to the ending. So this movie is directed by someone with a hell of a lot of pedigree, and we've already talked about him once before in this movie because he directed Jurassic Park 3. Not making that up. But he did a lot of movies.
Don't let that deter you, please.
Yes. But he has done several movies that we've planned on doing in the future, including The Rocketeer, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and The Pagemaster.
Okay, three of those are
fabulous
good.
Fabulous movie.
I love all of those.
Well, and October Sky, which I really like.
Oh, God, yeah. Love it.
And that's a fantastic movie.
That's what made me go into physics.
And then he followed that up with Jurassic Park 3.
Oh.
And Hidalgo, and then he also did the first Captain America movie.
Okay, so
Hidalgo?
I hated that.
He's done a
play. Although it makes perfect sense, right? Like, he's going across the desert. It could have been a scene out of Jumanji had it been a desert instead of a jungle. It's the
Wait,
same kind of character.
Wasn't that what the second one was?
Well, no,
it was
in space.
Oh, isn't that the same thing?
As the desert?
I don't know.
It's
said the astrophysicist.
He's not a climatologist.
I've been out of school for 5 years, whatever.
But yeah, we should talk a little bit about this. We should go through a little bit of the characters. Did you guys like Robin Williams in this? This is a weird role for him.
Yes.
Go on. Thanks, Matt Quinn.
I love that. Sorry, I'm really excited and words aren't good. I loved how serious he could be, but at the same time, he's Robin Williams, so it's hard to really let it get that under your skin unless you're Abby.
I feel like Robin Williams was the only person that could make this role believable. He was the only person that could have jumped out of a box and then actually sold that he was terrified of a magical game that involved the jungle and the African safari somehow.
I disagree. I think Nicolas Cage could have done this.
Oh my God.
I've been stuck in the jungle for so long.
No, Robin Williams really sold me when he goes in the bathroom and he's like, finally, no more eucalyptus leaves. And it took me until watching it last night to realize what he meant.
Banana leaves.
What? I'm sorry. Either way, I don't want to wipe my ass with it. And I understand how excited he would be because, you know, there's a big difference there. And I died. I had to pause. I laughed so hard last night because I did not catch that as a kid.
Or him shaving for the first time.
That I kind of understood.
How? With what?
Yeah, I thought that too. How old would those razors have to be?
No. I was thinking it was the aunt's razor, which is just a horrifying possibility.
I didn't even go there.
But again, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. I imagine so he grew up in this little house. So I imagine he went to his childhood bedroom and childhood bathroom in this mansion. Did he have his dad's razor from 20 years ago or 30 years ago or whatever?
Well, he came out of his bedroom and went into a different bathroom. So maybe he knew where the razors used to be because he was tormented and thought about slitting his wrists or something.
That one really dark.
The whole movie was dark.
Very dark. It's one of the most depressing movies.
I thought we were pretending it was happy-go-lucky kid time.
It wasn't depressing.
intense. I think it was Kirsten Dunst's first role?
It may have been.
I think so.
She was young.
Yeah.
I was watching this with Madison, and she said that it was Kirsten Dunst's best role. I was like, I mean, okay,
old
actor.
I'm trying to think of what else.
I mean,
else.
It's like, but wasn't Natalie Portman good. Only good when she was a kid, too? So, there's that.
Natalie Portman? She was good in Black Swan.
Mila Kunis is such a better actress.
Oh, I'm not saying she wasn't better. I'm just saying that she wasn't bad in it.
She was terrible.
I'm trying to decide, though. Kirsten Dunst was good. She was good in Spider-Man.
Yeah, I
bring it on.
Spider-Man.
Oh, I have other issues with Spider-Man, so I guess that's the thing.
Anyway.
I will say she's really good in this.
Yeah,
I like
yeah,
Kirsten Dunst in this.
She
I
delivers everything so well. Yeah, exactly. She was a believable 13-year-old bitchy teenager.
As an incessant liar. It was like,
yes.
Yeah.
They're going to send you to a shrink if you don't stop doing that. What do you think they're going to do if you don't start talking?
I mean, that's what a sister would do. She's
sassy
honest.
Children. What yes. are you going to say?
I get the feeling, and I told this to my wife when we were watching this, I think they took both of the boy actors and both of the girl actors and saw which one was better and then put them in the future world because they look very similar. They're both
right.
blondes.
Oh,
with,
yeah.
And, they're,
yeah.
and the kids both have brown hair and they both have kind of curlyish brown. And then you're just like, you're terrible. You're going to be in like three scenes and then he's going to be in the rest of the movie. The male actor is the voice of Chip in Beauty and the Beast, by the way, among a million of other things.
Can we talk about the cop?
Oh, David Alan Grier. Yeah, we need to talk about David Alan Grier. Was he the only one really trying other than Robin Williams? Because
he was hilarious.
I liked him.
I've always wanted to do this. Thunk.
Well, I mean, and he gets to do the role that Robin Williams in some ways probably wanted to do, which was actually be a physical comedian.
Right. Yes.
Because Robin Williams has to play this straight pretty much the whole time, except for random moments of screaming as something's about to come out of nowhere.
I think I loved his role specifically because, like, all of this nonsense is happening. Robin Williams isn't, like, having a freak-out moment because he's been dealing with it for the last 20 years. You know, so, which bring up the PTSD even when he goes back to his own timeline. But, you know, everyone else is just terrified of seeing these giant animals running amok. And the sheriff is just kind of like his reactions are priceless. Like as the thing eats his car or the other things.
Go on, take it. And then they just continue on foot. It's fantastic. I loved this as a kid. And I feel like I could totally handle myself in the jungle now. Like I just kind of know to let the monkeys get away. I know to stay away from the flowers and to get to high ground when it rains.
But what are you going to do about the giant mosquitoes that aren't so much sucking your blood as actually like
killing
stabbing
you.
Into your brain? Yeah.
Because
I
they
mean,
said like
I was,
30 people were in the hospital.
50,
excuse me.
Yeah, but I feel like, you know, after if you survive the first bite, then you probably like build up an immunity. I'll be fine.
Or,
and
know,
then I get a pet lion and
stork.
Some pet monkeys.
Oh, that stork was evil.
Stork just wanted to play, and they wouldn't let him.
So I think of all the animals more along the lines of part of a hive mind than anything else, because they were all too sentient. All those monkeys were really good at driving various things. Motorcycles, you have to get a special license for that.
And they wanted to steal a TV?
Yeah.
So, somehow?
Yeah. That would help their plot along somehow.
I mean,
we should have a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead version of this movie, just following the monkeys on their shenanigans.
That and the stampede was a hallucination because the same elephant kept running by.
the rhino at the very end.
Oh yeah. My god, he was so cute. Poor
like
little
a,
guy.
Like, sounded like a like an English terrier or something, just like. It was cute.
I loved it.
I did too. But we should get into some of these curses, the moves, right? So the first thing we get are these mosquitoes the size of footballs.
No, wait. Actually, the first thing we got before,
the bats. And
that was,
They
don't even come out on that turn.
They did. They were
weird.
In the, they were,
they were trapped upstairs.
They were trapped in the chimney.
They were in the chimney, but they didn't make it out in that first turn, which is something a little bit new because everything else happens almost immediately.
It wouldn't be new. It'd be the first thing because this is the first thing we see.
Well, it's unique from the rest of the movie.
And then the second thing we get is Robin Williams' character, I think Alan, right?
Yeah.
Gets sucked into Jumanji, which is the jungle of Africa we get.
Jumanji.
Jumanji.
You keep adding an I.
Jumanji.
It's like that song.
I get the... I'm not the only... One of the characters kept saying Jumanji, too.
I don't think so.
Maybe I'm just an idiot. It's possible. Okay, so then we jump forward to 1995, right?
Yep.
And then the kids start playing it. Kirsten Dunst and Chip. Kirsten Dunst gets mosquitoes, and there are three of them, and they're huge, and they start killing people. Then Chip gets monkeys.
Peter.
Peter gets monkeys. These are the worst things in here CGI-wise, right? The monkeys are terrible.
They're awful.
They're fine when they're all together. In the first scene where you see them, it's hilarious. There's monkeys trashing a kitchen. It's like you're back in college.
And then they throw knives at the children. And then they zoom in and they look demonic.
We need to get to the point of this game, because it's trying to kill everyone, right?
It's a sentient game that has the power of Africa behind it.
This is like playing Sorry. The whole point is just to get...
I was going to say, it's like Monopoly. The point of it is just to break up families.
It's a poltergeist. It's a poltergeist.
I mean, this is a game where the intent... This is a movie where the intensity is over what you roll.
Yes.
Like, just dice throwing. Like,
and so much so that people accidentally dropping the dice...
Counts.
So why are they ever near the game board? If it doesn't matter, why don't they just take the dice and start running?
So you know what's coming at least half a second before it gets there.
Well, no, because it comes out of the board. It comes out of the board.
Why do they always go back to the house? You know the jungle's taken over the house. Leave.
Well, no, Alan had a response for that, which is that he knows what's there. It doesn't scare him. It's, yes, he's weird.
It's there. That's, yeah,
he's
I know.
He's messed up. But
sever his dad hunter.
Why do the kids play the game?
What do you mean?
Why do they start?
No, they start, fine. But the bats, or the mosquitoes, go out the window, and the monkeys go away. You see them running down the path. Why not stop there?
Because they destroyed the kitchen. The monkeys destroyed the kitchen, and their aunt will kill them.
And yeah, but the monkeys have
just... But they don't know that when the game ends,
everything
will be
fine.
Fixed.
Yes,
yeah.
They do.
Yes, they do. It says so on the rules.
It says on the board, and she reads it. She goes, I didn't see this.
She says, the game says, everything will go away. So the monkeys will be retrapped, and the mosquitoes will be retrapped. They don't know about Robin Williams yet. They don't know about the kids. So why not just stop there and go to school?
I thought it said everything would be reversed.
Yeah, it said something to the effect of the kitchen will be fixed and your aunt won't find out, so keep playing, kid, because I'm going to kill you that way.
Okay, so I'm just going to jump forward to when Peter,
yes,
the kid, goes out to get the axe from the tool shed.
That was hilarious.
He picks up the axe.
That was hilarious.
And breaks the lock.
Wait, even before that, he got turned into Monkey Boy.
Yes, that was entertaining.
And the mask
well,
he tried
more, to and Alan had to pull the tail out of his butt.
That was a really
that
creepy
was hilarious.
Yes, it was.
Oh my god! An adult man goes behind a kid's pants and just goes while looking, making eye contact with the camera. That's the second time they make eye contact with the camera, and it's not an okay time to make eye contact with the camera.
And the mask doesn't move, so it just makes it even creepier.
No, it's weird. It's really weird. What did the kid look more like? I thought he looked like the Michael J. Fox from Teen Wolf.
I actually thought he looked more like something out of Planet of the Apes.
He looked like a Who from Whoville.
He did look like a Who from Whoville.
His little nose. With his little nose. He was so cute as a monkey.
It'd have been funny if they played a scene that said, I'd kiss you, but you're just so damn ugly.
What else do we get? The stampede I thought looked really good.
It
yeah,
did.
Stampede did look good. And it then going over the car, that was really well played.
That was
like,
well done.
Yeah.
I really didn't think most of the animatronics looked good. I thought the lion looked fake.
The yeah. second, if they had just done one shot on the lion, it would have been fine. That second one really drove it
oh,
home.
How about
where you just see the teeth kind of gleaming? Yeah. That one looked okay. And then yeah. the second one, would all for the rest of the
we
movie,
see the
just sleeps
face.
On the bed.
Yeah.
Or how about when the hunter would get shot or something go into him and he just kind of like things would pop out or...
I love Home Alone. It ruined movies with kids for a long time. Because that whole scene in Home Depot is a scene out of Home Alone.
Yeah.
And it's rough. It's rough going, because is he supposed to be immortal? Because I'm pretty sure the exterminator at the beginning said that they caught all the bats. Remember?
But there was one left.
No. He said, remember
oh, that's,
they went
that's
to
right.
the attic in like 96 or whatever the modern day is, and they're like, oh, those can't be the right bats. We saw those in the
no,
70s.
No, he said those aren't from around here. You won't see those here. Some girl in the 60s thought she saw bats like that. They never
yeah.
caught them.
Yeah, they never caught them. They just said, he
away.
Just said that he'd heard about girl somebody seeing them there before.
Yeah.
And then told them about Alan being chopped up into bits by his father.
And buried in the walls.
That guy's a pedophile, right?
Like, why would you tell tiny children that? I mean, I might, but why
don't
would you
worry
tell
about
tiny
the bats,
that?
Kid. Just worry about the ghosts in this house.
I wouldn't
really?
Sleep tonight. You know, I've been in every room of this house. I know if we didn't find the bodies yet, I'll be looking under your bed.
Okay.
I did love when the hunter walked into the gun store and just dropped the gold coins. And he said, there is a waiting period.
And the woman, it's apparently like, happened before because the woman who's working with him just turns the sign around. Well, that was something. That was something that happened.
And then he asked if he was a postal worker.
He sure did. What was the hunter's name? The Great White Hunter?
Van Pelt.
Van Pelt.
Van Pelt. I had, so I may or may not have cheated a little bit. I watched this movie earlier last year, and I was a little bit wasted. This doesn't really count, because I texted my dad. I had a doctor in college named Van Pelt. And I texted my dad, and I was like, is it okay in my imaginary universe to feel like it's really the same person, but he came back as a doctor so that he could help people to make up for all the destruction he caused Alan?
Was he or was he not the same actor as the dad?
He was.
The same okay. actor as
the dad. In a pith helmet.
One of the very Freudian things about this, that his greatest fear was his father.
Well, yeah. I mean, we kind of knew that.
Well, but yeah, it's just personified. I think it's also supposed to be a personification of Peanuts, right? Because Linus and Lucy were the Van Pelts, and the idea is that... Yeah,
okay. Okay, well, here's the thing. I want to comment on horrible dad of the, you know, the century. So basically he tells his son to man up. He goes out, has the snot beaten out of him by like five kids, goes home. His bike is bent out of shape. He gets home. His dad finds out and he goes, I just want to say I'm really proud of you for taking it like a man. And now you can go to boarding school. And you're like,
now you can get the hell out of my house.
Like, it doesn't
awful,
make any sense.
Awful father.
I just appreciate that you think that's the worst there is.
Then there's
the comment, my dad could barely hug me. Do you really think he would chop me up into bits like that to prove to the girl that he was the kid that he said he was?
Unless your dad had polio, I do not understand the statement that is there.
He was physically incapable.
And the henpecked wife, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, my God.
Don't. Okay.
She disappears.
Yeah.
She gets written out of the movie because she doesn't really show back up in the future because just the dad comes back in to get the tickets. We never see her again.
Yeah.
You assume she's still waiting in the car and that...
No. I'm just saying, like, he talks about how his parents went broke, but all he talks about is the father. We don't see them. This is also the second time we've seen Pete Postlethwaite, I think, who's the guy who's the homeless man living up in the attic, also from Jurassic Park.
Oh, man.
Tying the circle together.
Really?
So we should talk about the cop. We mentioned David Alan Grier before. Back in the day, he's wearing an afro and a little mustache, and he's designed a shoe from 1996. They literally went to...
I had that shoe, I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure they branded it with Jumanji in 96, too. And he's like, this is going to revolutionize this shoe factory. Which made little brown and black leather shoes for boys. Like, it looks like the shoes I had to wear throughout Catholic school. That's what it was. And then the kid puts it on a conveyor belt. It eats up the new shoe and essentially destroys the factory. So, what's his name? Carl gets fired. And
Alan just walks away.
Yes. It didn't destroy the factory. He got fired for it because it messed with the machine.
Yes.
The factory went out of business because the dad just absolutely went nuts when his son disappeared. So
yeah.
Does anyone wonder if he actually cared that the kid was gone, or did anyone wonder if he actually cared because everyone thought he killed him?
I think he was the quintessential 50s father, which was kids are seen, not heard, and I don't show affection to them. But if my kid disappears, I'm going to like cover heaven and hell and try to find him. Like, I still care about him.
I think he cared. Yeah, I agree. He
showed it in a way that was not appropriate for the 1996 release of this movie.
Yeah, but in 1950s, there were parenting books that told you to do that.
There
so.
Were.
But they were in 1969.
Yeah, but he was raised in 1950s, so he was emulating his father. Yeah. We could keep going.
He hadn't read Benjamin Spock yet.
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, that's what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
the 90s books, yeah.
Well, Spock was writing in the 60s.
Oh, was he?
Yep.
Okay.
But... Yeah, this movie's, well, after about 45 minutes, we end up in the modern day with Robin Williams and what's her name? Sarah? What's her name? The adult woman.
Who was Sarah?
It was Sarah?
Sarah, yeah.
And they have to finish the game because they need her. So they ruined her life.
Well, she became a psychic. She's fine.
Everyone thinks she's crazy.
Everyone thinks she's crazy.
She's clearly gone off the deep end a couple times.
And he's gone.
She calls her psychiatrist.
Oh, yeah.
I just... On a different phone and asked him to call her back. Does that bother anyone else? That really bothers me.
He usually calls me back 10 minutes before the hour, so this is all going to be okay. And they're like, yeah, but we're going to play this game. She's like, that's not real. I've spent 2,000 hours in therapy convincing myself that's not real, so that's not real.
She's the only one who has the proper reaction to a game that generates monsters.
Well, because the other two are kids or have been living in it for 26 years, so that's fair.
Yep. She sees that board and screams and jumps over a couch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was appropriate. Like,
he had a similar response when they came into the kitchen with it. He did not want to. He's back. He's going to be healthy. He's going to be back in his world. he didn't want to play either.
Yeah, what shifted to make him think that he had to play?
Reverse psychology.
Peter makes him feel he's scared, and it's okay to be scared. And he did, you know, he doesn't have to be a man. And he's like, God, it's my fucking father all over again, and this tiny child. I'm not scared. I can do this. It goes back to the daddy issues. I mean, he's two steps away from being a stripper.
Plus, he's still emotionally that, 12-year-old kid that disappeared into the game. Like, just because he has a beard doesn't mean he actually talked to people for 26 years.
Exactly. And he grew up a certain way, but he still needs to prove himself. He spent so long surviving, he needs to prove himself.
So, Robin Williams, once he gets playing again, Alan, once he starts playing the game again, ends up getting stuck in the floor and have Van Pelt chasing him. He knows who Van Pelt is somehow. Is this a thing?
Well, because he was in the jungle universe and met all of the things. All of the cryptic things. He knew what they were before they were coming out.
Honestly, yeah, it goes back and forth. It's very unclear. It's like, well, how would you know that plant has the darts that kill people as soon as they go in? Like,
anything.
Anything.
I'm assuming that Jumanji is not a large place. He did have to spend 26 years there.
Crapping with Banana leaves. We talked about this. We got this.
I mean, he's probably seen everything in action. He probably knows that Van Pelt is a poacher. But he also says Van Pelt is after him because he rolled the die.
Yes.
It doesn't necessarily go back to him being in Jumanji, but he has seen all of these things.
And they recognize each other.
They do.
They have banter. They've bantered before.
They have bantered before. And he does look like his dad, which doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, what else do we talk about in this movie? It's such a weird kind of... And it's a very special effects-heavy movie for the 90s.
Yes.
Some looks better than others. I think the effect when he gets sucked into the Jumanji world looked... I don't want to say weird. It was not what I was expecting, but
it looked
didn't
like
look bad.
A 90s computer game.
It looked awesome.
It did, but it was so fake it looked right, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like, it did.
If, like, a tornado had come out and sucked him down, it would have looked...
Well, I think that's kind of what actually one of the things that makes this movie hold up a little better than its other brethren with the computer animation of that day is that the board is magic, that everything that comes out of it isn't real.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be exactly its real world counterpart. So the fact that it looks off actually kind of makes a little bit of sense, like, to the movie's credit, in my opinion. Now, you know,
I'm just glad that in both shots where they pull them into the board, I feel like it really works, and it's not super cheesy because they don't start with their face to make things look weird. You know, they start with Alan's hands. They start with Van Pelt's gun. They start with different things that kind of make everything blend in a little bit more, and I feel like it makes it more believable. It gives the effect a little bit more credibility.
And always gives them time to scream.
I mean, how can you
not
scream?
I did actually wonder that a couple times because some of the things sort of stopped when they rolled the dice, and so they said a monsoon... I looked around for about 45 seconds. I'm like, roll the dice. Just roll the dice. Maybe it won't happen.
Oh yeah. Speaking of which, I've heard of a few things in my life. I've heard of raining cats and dogs. I understand the premise behind that one. I've actually heard of it raining frogs, which does happen. I have never, ever, ever heard of it raining alligators.
I had the same thought. Where did the gators come from? That's a cheat. The game added a thing.
Maybe it delivered them at the same time and you just don't see them.
Someone had a...
But nobody gave them a warning. They got no warning that the gators were coming. Like, they
it's
got
bad enough that the house is flooding.
Yes.
We'll just add it to the creep factor. Game adds cheats. Trying to kill you really hard.
Which reminds us that the next thing I think that happens is the worst effect in this, which are the spiders.
Oh, yeah.
The spiders are atrocious. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
The spiders look like they came out of Nightmare
a
Before
giant
Christmas.
Jar of nope.
Well, but they also looked like they were hard plastic.
Yes.
Except for their mouths, where they kept cutting back to, which was clearly somewhere else, but that was damp.
And they were oozing poison or something?
They were oozing poison.
Yeah.
Also, the girl dies at the end of that game, right?
Yeah, she dies.
She dies. Kirsten Dunst dies in that same scene.
Oh, yeah. She dies.
She didn't.
Yeah, she died.
No, she doesn't.
She dies.
She's fine.
She died.
No.
She
died. The game ended first.
Well, she died.
The game ended first. Stop killing my childhood. She's fine. Please don't make me cry.
So,
she dies. She has to because there's two turns after that.
Yeah. She's totally dead. She goes, save them. And then dies.
Caressing his dead sister.
Yeah.
And then the lady has to roll.
Because her eyes are closed doesn't mean she's dead.
But she got the poison darts to kill everything.
and Robin Williams said they kill in a matter of seconds.
Yes.
Like, that was the thing. Because she grows gray. She turns gray. Like her.
Why do you hate me?
I hate the best part of the movie.
I have managed to convince myself that she was still alive this whole time, and you've just ruined everything.
Well, if it helps, the movie doesn't matter, because the second he says Jiamunji, we go back in time 26 years, and so none of the movie mattered at all.
Which we need to talk about.
Question? But, what if someone else won? Would they stay in 1995?
No, I think everything would have gone back.
Everything. It undoes everything. It goes back to the beginning of the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
But so, like, if Peter had won, he would have essentially uncreated himself. He would have ceased to exist, mm-hmm. even if he had won.
I think at this point, they're just ready for the game to be over. They really don't care.
And then they turn into horrible
mom and her beautiful beret would have disappeared.
Oh, yeah.
David Alan Greer might have had a career.
No, it's not their mom.
It's their aunt.
It's their aunt. Because, no, because remember, Alan and Sarah turn into horrible bosses when they won't let them go on vacation so they don't have an accident.
So we have to talk about this. We have to talk about the time travel, because they go back and then they're like, I'm already forgetting what it's like to be an adult. But then they remember all of the events. So when the children are born, do they remember all the events?
She said what it feels like.
Yeah.
She specifically said what it feels like, not that she's forgetting what happened.
No, I agree with you. Okay. That's not my point. My point is, do the children remember what happened when they're born?
No.
No.
Because then it ties into Baby Geniuses, and obviously that's going to be an episode eventually.
I sense a Geekly Oddcast coming.
Okay, so then there's the scene that proves that they don't remember what happened, because they're creepily buying them gifts and staring at them like they're Jesus or something.
Can we talk about that? What? Because when they ask where the kids are, the wife is like, how did you know? And they're like, oh, we just assumed. And then later, they're like, oh, they're just like, you know, we remembered them because you've talked so much about them. And he told me and blah, blah, blah. Like, what? And then they have gifts. And so I would so not work for these people.
They must be paying a lot of money.
I mean, you'd have to pay me a lot more if you're going to creep on my kids. Like, I'm sorry.
That's maybe the part that bothered you?
She's creeping. They're creeping on the kids, and she's like, obviously, we love children. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. It's all creepy.
It's weird.
It's all creep back.
That whole end of the movie is weird. I wish they hadn't ended back in time.
Because
then they end up like, does that mean he remembers the last 26 years? So he goes from being a 40-year-old man, and Robin Williams is in no way 36, so don't lie to me. He looks like he's 50 in this movie. But then does he have all the memories of a 36-year-old kid as an 11-year-old?
They could have just ended right when they were like, we're alive.
Would have been a cool ending to have? He gets back to the 1960s, and the next day he sees the bully again, and he beats the ever-living snot out of him because he can't.
Back to the future ending.
Yes.
The Back to the Future.
Because it was the 90s.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, we should have had some sort of, I mean, yes, he does apologize to his dad and hugs him and says, I was the one who sent
the shoe thing.
David Alan Greer to being a stand-up comedian or whatever. But that was it.
Carl!
I don't know. That ending is just so unsatisfying.
No, I did like the ending when it shows up on the beach and, like, the other side of the world. Like
in France? How did it get to France?
Was it France?
Yeah. They're speaking French. How did it get to France from a river here?
The whole point is that it just...
Because it's magic.
No.
I thought it was
It's creepy
Canada.
Magic. It
makes more sense.
I guess that makes sense, yeah. Some of them do.
If it flew out to the ocean, it could go plenty
of
places.
They threw it in a teeny tiny little creek in their town.
They were in New England.
We'll look at current maps later.
Current maps?
Yeah.
Not past maps.
It's magical.
From 1996.
Tide maps? What do you want to talk about?
Thanks, Clint.
LOL. Anyway. No, it's... You guys are overthinking this.
Wait, whoa. You were just telling us.
Wait.
No.
We can't win.
No, we can't.
No, you can't, because this movie is great, and I don't want to pull it apart and ruin everything.
No, this movie is weird. This movie is so weird.
It's not bad. I didn't find it scary. I didn't find it terrifying. I found it when I was a kid. I found it intense. Like, I didn't know if they were going to win.
I was like, this is incredible.
That's not a, okay, that's so not
you,
a dig.
It's, you say... As a kid, how old were you when you first watched this movie?
I was older than you.
Obviously. This movie came out when I was 3. How old were you 9. When you watched the movie? Okay, 9. All right.
Are you younger than me? I think I was 11 or 12.
Well, this came out in 96. Oh, 96? Then I was 10.
No, okay. Yeah.
I was 7.
I thought it was 95. That's why I said 9.
So. And I mean, like, I read the book. The book came out in, I think, 81. So I read it when I was
book.
Younger than that.
Yeah.
I remember it.
I got it from a book fair.
I feel like and it had illustrations in it. My dad used to read it to us.
Yep, it was
possible.
It did have illustrations.
Yeah,
it was like this.
Yeah, it was like this big. Yeah.
We
played it. We would read that and then have game night, and then the movie came out and we watched the movie.
Did you? Any of you own the game?
Yes.
I didn't own the game,
but we could never figure out how to play it. We weren't very smart.
The magnets didn't work.
Carmen San Diego. Did you guys notice how it went from magnets to microchips?
I thought that
Yep, that was funny.
I also like how they don't try to explain where the game came from. They're remaking this in 2016, and I'm sure it's going to be a curse. I'm sure there's going to be something like that. That's going to be rough.
Oh, you know what would be great? Is if Van Pelt was someone that played the game, and they all died. And then the game started over, and he was stuck there forever.
Did
I sound too excited about that?
How do you not find this creepy? How does that not push you over the edge into this is a ghost movie?
But that's what I was saying.
It is so cool.
Had any of them succeeded in dying, because apparently it's possible.
Succeeded in dying?
Well,
has the game ever succeeded in killing someone?
The mosquitoes ended up killing people, right? I'm not crazy.
They made them sick.
They went into the hospital.
We don't know, but they were going into comas. We don't know if they died, but the chances were not good.
Okay, how about this? The monkeys were causing people... Yeah, and elephants were trampling people to death in cars.
Yes, people died.
Well, but they didn't because they went back, because they won. So it's all okay.
Well, no, none of this technically happens. This movie does not exist because it doesn't need to happen. But my question is, if one of the characters dies playing the game, does their piece stop working or can you never finish the game?
I'm thinking you can never finish the game because the game is trying to kill everyone.
The game is inherently trying to kill people. I think
it's just trying to teach people survival skills.
Can I ask why the game took the gun at the end? Because that gun came from reality and not from the world.
Because it officially belongs to Van Pelt.
Because the game likes to kill people, and it can do that better with a high-powered rifle.
That'd be great if, like, the sequel is just, like, the game hunting. It turns into, like...
It gives it to one of the monkeys. Everyone's screwed, because the monkeys are too smart.
The monkeys are terrifying.
A little bit, yeah. They're really smart. I don't think they'd pass the driver's test, though.
But they were the best drivers in the movie.
They drove a motorcycle successfully. I don't care if they'd pass a driving test. They accomplished it. Like, that was creepy.
That gun that they were holding where they passed him on the interstate was terrifying. It was bad.
Or when they cocked the shotgun and shot the roof off.
The 357 Magnum.
The monkeys were scary.
They're fantastic. Can I also just say, you know when the car gets crunched in half because it's going through the woods?
Yeah.
Those trees were not strong enough to...
Destroy a car
like that. Like,
unless they were creepy cursed trees.
No, they were regular trees on the side of the road. And then the vine somehow manages to come all the way out from the house.
I've seen some cars wrap themselves around trees before. I know
that the vines were helping from the other side too, but the little teeny tiny trees that it originally like they're like that big and they're really tiny.
I've seen some nasty wrecks in New York, so
I don't know. I think we're just about out of time. So, we should go around the table, give our final thoughts. Thomas, give us your final thoughts.
As Nick said, the only thing the movie does is it changes the original two characters, that their lives are changed. The game never happened, really can't have, and they save the children's parents from dying. But otherwise, nothing that actually happened.
Nothing matters. It's a nihilist movie.
Nietzsche would be so proud. Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it. It's a fun movie to watch. I didn't find it scary then. I still don't really find it scary now, but I can understand why some people would. I'm sorry. I'd give it a watch if it's on TV. I don't have it in my collection, so you know, it is what it is.
Abby.
Madison spent 3 days wearing down my will to make me watch this movie because I saw this movie when I was 4 or 5. I had not read the book and I was terrified. I was physically uncomfortable for 3/4 of this movie because of how terrifying this movie is. It's a ghost story. It's a poltergeist trying to murder them. There is nothing inherently happy or great about this movie. I mean, it would be an enjoyable movie to watch, you know, on TV, if you weren't terrified of it as a child, but it's just like it's trying to kill you. It has the entire power of Africa behind it. Like it's a miracle that these kids survived. It's I don't understand. Everyone is terrified of this game the entire time. And as a 4-year-old, it was scarring. And I can't handle this movie, apparently. And let's be honest here. I laughed my way through Netherworld. I can binge watch, 10 seasons of Criminal Minds and have 2 nightmares about it. And that's fine. I love horror movies. And this was pretty much the most terrifying movie of my entire life.
I don't know if I expected that review, but okay. Thank you.
Rather than a remake, could we get a prequel? Who made this damn game?
Was the kids from 1896 playing it? Because they just buried it in a box.
They were terrified, and that's the opening. You should not want to touch this game.
I was going
to
say, actually, that is the most scary part, where you hear wolves in the distance, and it goes, don't worry, it's only wolves. And you're just like, what have these kids seen?
Yes, exactly.
Great premise. It's a great way to start the movie off.
If you're not 4 and everyone's telling you it's a happy movie,
I told you it was a happy movie.
The other kids were making fun of me because I was so scared because I was in daycare and I was at after school care or something because my parents were late. So I was like, oh, there's no way that they would come looking for me if I got sucked into this game. This is horrifying. And then I was being bullied at the time, so the whole bullying scene was terrible. This is just awful. This is an awful movie. I'm about to cry.
Okay, there's a whole lot of buried stuff in there.
I was 4. It's not like it was buried. Why didn't the teacher pull me away from the screen? It was horrifying.
Clearly buried now, coming to the surface all over the place.
I told everyone I did not want to watch this movie. So I made Madison watch Dark Crystal, which is a whole lot of Jim Henson I did not want to see. That's if you
He's
haven't
not
watched
naked
that.
In it.
No.
That's what I thought when she said that, too.
His mind. The depths of his mind. I just wanted to believe it was all Muppets, and it gets creepy.
There's a Skeksis at the local puppet museum.
Oh.
Yeah, they got all of his stuff.
Who wants to go see the new wing when it opens in November?
I do. I'm there. Cool. Anyway, Kelly, what are your final thoughts? Thank you, Abby. I didn't want this to become this isn't WTF or Mark Maron or anything. Whenever I see 2 6-sided die, I just start freaking out. I had a chess set that had an elephant instead of a knight, and I had to burn it. I had to burn the whole thing.
None of this was a problem until you guys made me watch this.
I didn't make you do anything. You
it's
didn't
all
have
your
to
fault.
Do this one.
Madison held a gun to my head.
You're off the Christmas list now. I'm just gonna send you. I'm gonna send you some dice that are covered in blood, and that's it.
I would love that.
Can we make her a Jumanji board?
I would totally play
that's
it
what
too.
I'm gonna get you for your wedding.
Oh, yay!
Can it be
friendship?
Everyone can be a different killer animal.
Seriously, I'm not.
Blunderbuss.
I'm the biggest. I'm the biggest horror movie fan. This movie should not scare me, and it's just inherently terrifying.
Fair enough. Kelly, what are your final thoughts?
No, I love this movie, even if you guys tried to kill it. Or kill her. She's not dead. She's fine.
Okay.
She's at the end of the movie. She's fine. Everything is fine. But no, and it doesn't, I realize that they remember everything, but it would be just as weird if it was some sort of dream sequence. What difference does it make that it's a game? I mean, now it's creative. They made it creative. And I thought there was a freaking lying behind
I was just pointing at the cat. Jeez.
Okay.
How anyway. Talk?
She was just pining for the fjords.
We're leaving now.
I will continue to look at this the same way I did when I was a kid. I made my husband watch it, and he had the same reaction. He was kind of like, I don't, okay. And I'm like, what do you mean? I watched him half the time just to see how he was going to react. So he knew something was going to happen. But he had the same response. He was kind of like, meh. I mean, it's okay. I love it. I will always love it. It has a history for me, which is way different than Abby's.
I, too, will always look at it the same way I did as a kid.
I just think it's fantastic. I mean, they end up in the jungle, and they have to battle these creatures that I'm never going to see in real life. And it just let my imagination run away with it. And I just... I mean, that's really cool. I'm glad it's happening to someone else, but it was really cool that I could really... I felt like I could be nervous with them. I could be a part of that. I could yell at the game with them. I could scream. I could be afraid. I could see a lion in my aunt's bedroom. You know, I was able to be in the game with them and not be attacked by anything. So it's always going to be that for me. I love it. I love it. It stands up. Hands down, it's one of the best movies when I was a kid, and I will continue to watch it forever.
Ever and ever.
And ever and ever, amen.
Like you're trapped in a board game that won't end.
I mean, Ben Pelt, you know.
This movie, in my mind, was a sparkle filter away from being a Stephen King adaptation. Like, it's even set in New England. Like, if they had mentioned it was a gypsy curse, you know, like, that's all it needed. And not made it, if it was constantly gray outside, it would have been a Stephen King movie.
And then I could have.
And in, yeah.
It is in New England.
Oh, it is in New England. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
And then I could have accepted it, but they kept trying to pretend it was a happy kids movie.
I'll tell you what.
Survives. Everyone's happy. We destroyed their existence.
Because that whole timeline no longer exists. So we literally destroyed their entire childhood. It no longer happened.
I'm so sorry that their parents survived. They didn't have to grow up with their weird-ass aunt. And they weren't attacked by killer monkeys, lions, spiders, mosquitoes.
You're right. This movie, it's better that it didn't happen.
But Robin Williams...
That's not what I said.
Robin Williams will always remember those 26 years of basically solitary confinement while he's being attacked
PTSD
by monsters
for the rest of his life. Like,
and now he can appreciate the life and the people that he has around
you know,
him.
He might have.
He fixed his relationship with his father. This is a happy movie.
His wife
may
will
never
always
be able
remember
to eat bananas
being
again.
I don't know that I'm ever going to be able to make that Blue Apron meal again, though, because we cooked it in banana leaves, and I don't think I can do that now.
His wife will always remember being ostracized by the town for 26 years and convinced that she was crazy for telling the truth.
But now she can be superior her whole life, and she's married to the rich guy, so it all works out.
So she'll just be snooty?
Better than them. Oh, come on. She's married to the richest guy in town.
How do you know she wasn't going to do that without the game?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to pull a page out of It's That Bad and say, look, it has a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's what it deserves. Is it bad? I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's particularly great. I think it's fine for a kids movie. It's probably the highest rated kids movie we've reviewed, with the possible exception of... No, Hook's, it's better than Hook. Hook also had like a 53%. Like, Mulan had a much higher rating.
Spy Kids. Wait for that, guys. That's got a 93%.
I would give it an 80. I saw it in theaters. Don't remember anything about it. So.
I don't know.
I'll tell you what. At the end of the day, maybe it's worth a 3 out of 5. I think it's enjoyable. I had nothing wrong with it. It was cute. It had some dark themes, but in the end, I think you're right. It's a character growth. Like, it's the character's journey. And it's fine. But I would say if you're streaming, you guys who are listening to it, and that's the age of us, the people who do this podcast, you'll look back at 1995 special effects and think it's pretty impressive in some places, not as much in others. The animatronics, ironically, are worse than most of the CGI. For young kids, I think the story is going to either grab them or it won't. But the effects are going to look out of place for them. And I think the 2016 version, the effects will all be the same, which will be really disconcerting, I think. I think that'll be the shame because this is the height of practical effects in kids' movies.
Maybe they'll use a real lion.
Yeah, but he won't be anywhere close to it, so he'll be green-screened in. And I think that's going to be awkward. Because everything here was
lion.
Real.
I will totally, when you guys are remaking this, if you need to cast someone to play with the kitty, I will play with the kitty.
I'm going
to
guess they're already mostly done filming it.
Dang.
Because if it's coming out in like 9 months, it's already done filming.
Yeah.
However, we are out of time, so I guess if you want to compare it, you can see the new one, and maybe we'll do a special episode just talking about the new one compared to the old one. But for now,
just watch it.
Tune in every week, and this week, and next week, and all future weeks, so we put a little bit more of your past on trial. Thanks, guys.
Myopia Defend Your Childhood is produced by Dude Letter Podcasting. It's hosted by Nick Hoffman, produced and mixed by Ann Burns, and edited by Nick Hoffman. Our graphic designer is Scott Miller. The theme song is Caroline, written and performed by The Serenaders. Purchase their music through the Amazon link on dudeletter.com. Questions or comments? Please visit myopiapodcast.com or contact us through myopiapodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, at Myopia Podcast and at Dude Letter, and find us on our Facebook, Stitcher, and iTunes pages. And while you're on iTunes, please rate and review our podcast. It helps us out a lot. Want to give us money? Go to myopiapodcast.com/Amazon and purchase stuff like normal. Myopia gets a piece of the action. We're also sponsored this week by Jack Black, who would like to thank Robin Williams for giving him a whole new career. Yep, there's a remake of this coming out. Yep. 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 Tune in next time when we put another little piece of your past on trial. Thanks, guys.